Hello and welcome to another episode of I've Never Seen the OC. We are on Season 3, Episode 21, The Dawn Patrol.
I'm going to confess up front, we actually got 10 minutes into this episode and I realised I hadn't hit record. Consummate professional.
It was only 10 minutes.
Only 10 minutes of our lives. And it was gold as well. Like, I don't want to be that guy, but it was really good.
We always say this when it happens.
Well, second time lucky, Jane. Second time lucky. Yeah. If you are new to this podcast, welcome. That's a strong way to start.
Hi. Hi.
Over there is Jane. She can hit record and she has seen the OC.
Yeah, that's me. I'm now like staring at the button to make sure that I've definitely hit record. Yeah, and over there we have Heather, who has never seen the OC.
I have not, but I have now hit record.
Yes.
Good. Strong. So we have some exciting news to kickstart this week.
We do. I feel like in the last recording we're like, oh my god, we've got the most exciting news. And we're just like, yeah, we've got some exciting news. No, we do. We have some some very exciting news. We have our live show.
We do indeed. If you are a long-term fan of the show, you'll know we did this for season 2. It's super fun and we just get together on a little Friday night and we're going to record the season 3 finale. So it is on Friday the 18th of June at 7:30 UK time, 7:30 UK time, which I know some people are upset about, but you know, we can only do what we can do, guys. You know, I'm really sorry. We can't please everyone.
It's really difficult when you have international success.
Such a heavy burden to all your audiences.
Yeah, but we appreciate all our listeners and we've got our thinking caps on to see how we can incorporate you all in some way. But don't forget, you will have the opportunity to listen to the live episode on the following Thursday, as usual, so it won't interfere with your usual listening experience.
Yes, your listening pleasure shall be fulfilled. That sounds so grim.
Fulfilled. It does sound grim.
Your listening pleasure will be fulfilled. Creepy. Anyway, it's Friday the 18th of June at 7:30. You can get tickets via the link in our profile on Instagram. At Never Seen the OC is where you need to head to for that.
Awesome.
Great. Before we get too much further into this episode, we do have a bit of a trigger warning here. This episode touches on date rape and rape in general. It also touches on alcoholism and relapsing back into alcoholism.
So if that feels a bit heavy for you this week, please do go back and listen to one of our prior episodes. As always, we'd recommend Rainy Day Women in season 2.
That's your fave.
It is my fave, and I'm not even on that one.
R.I.P. Kerry.
But yeah, plenty of others to choose from.
For sure. I actually went back and listened to the pilot, season 1, episode 1. Surprisingly good. Surprisingly good.
Yeah.
Good quality. I was very impressed. I think I'd been putting it off in case I listened back and was like, oh man, we were shit. But it's actually pretty good. So I would listen to it. Anyway, last time
on the OC. So we have a nice little montage of Seth and Summer's history. So accumulating with the grand display of Seth's love for her on the coffee cart.
Yeah.
Following the breakup at the end of the last episode.
Yeah. It's really convoluted because he basically told her that he doesn't want to go to Brown, but the truth is actually that he didn't get into Brown. And then he has broken up with her so that she will go to Brown because she told him if he didn't get into Brown, she wouldn't go without him. Whew, that is complicated.
It's all very high school, isn't it? It's like, he said, she said, she said, blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Basically, Seth's been a knob. Stop lying.
Top line.
Yeah. And then we've got, Marissa's still a bit unsure.
Yeah, she got into all the Berkeley stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. She got a good jumper as well that Summer gifted her.
Oh, yeah, that was cute.
That's been tucked away in the drawer. We also got a flashback to Mean Heather, not to be confused with Nice Heather.
That's me. Nice Heather. Mean Heather is in the show, and she was giving Marissa, just giving her some grief when she was at Newport Union. I wouldn't go as far as to say to like bully her, because it's, I didn't feel like that, but she's just being a dick.
Yeah, she's sort of part of Volchik's gang, isn't she?
Yeah.
Kind of mean, cool, grungy surfer. Surfer crew.
Yes, very much so. Yeah. And then we had the Newport group drama. Dr. Griffin offered Sandy $700 million worth of work. Wow. But the kind of accumulation of that was Matt wasn't allowed to work on it anymore, and then Matt started blackmailing everyone, and it's just got very convoluted.
Yeah. And then we had flashback to some of the scenes with Dawn, Ryan's mum, as well. If you remember a few episodes ago, Sandy reached out to Dawn to try and get to come to Ryan's 18th.
Oh yeah,
that was a couple episodes ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Just yeah, she didn't feel she was ready to do so, and yeah, we've got them reaching out again in this episode, so should we dive in?
Yes, let's go. Let's start in the Coen kitchen, as we do with so many episodes. Our favourite place to start. Seth has nailed some swordfish on the barbecue, which is wild.
Yeah, extra. Very bougie.
So extra. I am such a basic bitch when it comes to barbecue. Like, you were saying, like, you don't have a garden either, do you?
Not being you don't have a garden in Glasgow when the weather is shit about 90% of the time.
It doesn't need to be our forte, but we went for a barbecue at our friend's house, Paul and Katie, and he was telling me about how he put rosemary in the charcoals and like oiled the grill with like olive oil and garlic. Jeez. And I was just like, mate, like, we are not on the same level. I get a disposable barbecue.
Like, yeah, that's like what I do to my potatoes when I think I'm being super extra, like for a Sunday roast, not my barbecue.
So fancy.
Hats off to that guy, yeah.
I know, Paul, an influence on us all. But yeah, I have swordfish on the barbecue. I'm sure he would be fine with that. But this is where Kirsten and Sandy clearly don't know about Seth not going to Brown, because Ryan kind of has a go at Seth for not telling Summer, or lying to Summer, and then Sandy's like, oh, what's going on? And they're very quick to be like, oh, nothing, not talking about anything.
Yeah. And we've also, they get onto the topic of graduation. So graduation's coming up, and we find out that despite all the money that they paid to go to their fancy private school, they only get two tickets,
which I felt was wild.
But it was always the same. I remember this in our own graduations, you know, and I remember like people that maybe had split parents, or like it was quite problematic.
Two tickets is so stingy.
It's rubbish, isn't it?
Did you get extra tickets in the ballot in the end?
No.
Did you?
I did.
I got them? Two, yeah. Anyway, the Nana won't be able to get a ticket to come, which is insane. But this is where Ryan kind of pipes up and he's like, oh, well, the Nana could have my tickets because I obviously get two tickets.
Yeah. So Kirsten says, oh, I think, again, Pushin, I think this is a big milestone for you. I think someone from your family should come. And she thinks he should reach out to his mum.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, as we said, they did for his 18th a few episodes ago.
Yeah. Ryan doesn't seem into it, but Kirsten's kind of pushing this, like, maybe she's changed, like, give her a chance to, like, show that she's changed. I guess because she's been through it, like, and she's changed, so.
I think you can also totally sense the tension between Sandy and Kirsten from the very outset, though, can't you? Like, she's quite passive-aggressive. She says something like, Sandy's like, oh, he's only a kid, and I think she says something like, yeah, because when we get older we make much better decisions.
What a dig. Yeah. Although that is 100% something I would say, so
yeah.
You know, pot kettle. So Kirsten then goes over to the pool house to kind of apologize to Ryan because he kind of stormed off. He didn't even storm off, he kind of slinked off in a dismissive manner
himself in the situation.
There's this kind of idea that if he doesn't see her at graduation, like, when is he going to see her again, which I guess is kind of a valid point, especially if he's like going to college. And I see what they're saying here.
Definitely.
Although, do you know what I thought was really weird when they made the plan that he was going to go to Albuquerque on his own? Why would you let an 18-year-old go and do that on their own?
It seemed a bit... Yeah, I didn't. I was like, he is 18. But even then, given the circumstances... And also, Kirsten doesn't really work.
Yeah, what's she doing all day?
She doesn't do much. She thinks they could go on a wee jolly together. But anyway. And we cut to the opening credits.
Over to the Roberts. Marissa is clearly just out of the shower. And Volchek is here in a sleeveless denim shirt, which, you know me, I quite like a bit of Volchek. He's very nice to look at.
Really? He's never mentioned it.
But this shirt is not the one. It's really not the one.
No, it's definitely not. But he's sort of getting all, trying to get all physical with her. But she's like, oh, no, we can't. And then in comes Julie. I love this scene. I think it's so funny.
Well, they kind of set it up. So she's like, oh, it's not that. It's just. And then Julie comes in and is like, her mother might find out. Like, and it is just so perfect timing. It's really good.
But yeah, he was like, oh, I'm just leaving. And then Marissa tells Julie to like, no, I think first off, what did she say? I think she says to him, keep that grimy paw away from me unless you want to see what cardio bar can do to your face.
It's like 10 years of cardio bar. So good. A classic Julie moment, I think. Yeah. And she
just
also
love a cardio bar reference.
She's also like, I told Neil this house had rats. I was like, she's subtle much, Julie. Jeez.
And then, Julie's like, oh, no lecture. Like, he's cool. He's got great abs and personifies everything that's bad for you, Marissa. And then Marissa just hits out with, oh, so you want to sleep with him instead? And it's like, oofed. But yeah,
we do probably deserve that. We do glance over that quite a lot.
Yeah.
But then Julie makes this rookie mistake. Like, I am not a parent and I can tell a mile off this is a rookie mistake. She's like, I'm not going to allow it. To which my inner 14-year-old is like, oh, watch me.
I'm going to do it.
Yep, 100%.
Marissa's like, oh, he's not that bad. And she also makes the point, well, look, you were wrong about Ryan, so you could be wrong about Volchek as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just sort of ends with Marissa sort of storming off, doesn't it?
Yeah. This next scene's quite a short one, but it's basically Ryan and Kirsten talking and him being like, I don't really have a plan. And again, I'm just like, as if you would let an 18-year-old who is in your care get on an aeroplane to go and try and find his mum where he doesn't really know where she works. He doesn't have a plan. It's just weird. It's so weird.
Yeah. Kirsten just like, oh, well, no matter what happens, I'll be there to watch at graduation, and just reassuring them that they'll still be here for
he's
him.
Still got one proud mum, which is nice.
Yeah, it's just cute. And then we are at Harbour School and we see Seth and Summer, and Seth sort of looking on at Summer, who looks miserable, he looks miserable, and then we see Taylor clock this, and you can already see like a scheme forming in her head, can't you?
Yeah, the cogs are definitely turning in Taylor Townsend's little head.
Yeah. So she's sort of offering herself up to be Summer's friend, and Summer's just like, I can't believe that Seth has just completely changed her whole life plan so quickly. And again, we go back to that moment. She's like, it was only 2 years ago he was up in that coffee cart proclaiming his love for her, and now it's all changed. So she sort of smells a rat, if you like, and she thinks there's something going on here. He's hiding something because he can't just walk away.
Yeah. Well, she's like, a guy like Cohen is physically incapable of walking away from a girl like me.
Yeah.
Fierce confidence there.
I think she says something like, I mean, I've only got hotter since then.
Oh, imagine having the self-confidence of a cocky 17, 18-year-old.
Yeah. I did feel here, though, like Summer, it was quite, she's always been the optimistic one.
Yeah, for sure.
And here she was just a bit like, oh, everything's ruined. All hope is lost. But yeah, she's hoping to find out the truth.
Yes. Shall we head to the yacht club?
Oh, yeah. Matt's drinking.
And he calls Sandy Sandman.
Sandman.
What? The nicknames on this show offend terrible, my soul. Like, why does everybody get a shit nickname? Shit. And then they change all the time. It's so stupid.
Have you ever had a nickname?
There's not much you can do with Heather.
Nah.
Although, when I moved to London, a couple of people started calling me Hev, which I think is quite a London thing.
It's quite a London thing, isn't it?
And I hate it. I hate it so much. There's Lucy, my friend Lucy Scott calls me Hev, and that's fine. But nobody else is allowed to call me Hev. And then sometimes I'll get like HDC, but that's
I like that.
Just my initials, really, isn't it? It's not really a nickname.
Yeah. Stephen and I get collectively called Jendo.
That's cute.
Because he's known as Endo. Don't ask. It's just like a name from high school that stuck. There is no logical reason to it. Like, so we get called that. And bizarrely, my best friend Amy, who lives in London, still calls me Taylor from the OC days when she used to call me Taylor Townsend
cute.
Because I was such a loved all the organising of
weird
social
organisation
events.
Freak. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cute. I love that. Well, Matt and the Sandman are at the yacht club, and this is where we find out Matt is going to blackmail Griffin, Dr. Griffin, for his loss of earnings, and he's going to try and get the money back that he's lost from losing his job with Sandy. And he's like, tell your boy Griffin to pay up tomorrow, very much like Sandy and Griffin are in cahoots. And you can tell Sandy is just like, what is going on? Like, what's happening here?
Heather, I'm glad you've written stuff down about these scenes, because I am so over the storyline. Like, I'm soft. Whatever, on the next bit.
I know, yeah. I know. Me too, friend. We'll power through to get there. Over to Volchek's house, which I still don't understand how we can afford, but sure.
Do you know what really annoyed me in this as well? He's like having a fag in the house. I'm like, oh. But there's also another scene, and I can't remember. It's towards the end, but when Marissa goes into his apartment, and I think like she picks up the DVD, we'll get there. But he's got an ashtray, but it looks like all the fags are like not smoked. And I'm like, not only, right, one, they're very expensive, right? What, so
I mean, they
just like having a couple
then.
Of puffs, I suppose. But I was like, why is he not smoking a full cigarette? Like, that's so weird.
We need to talk to the art department. Props. We've got words, because that is weird.
Yeah, even if, like, chop them up or something, make them look like they've actually
We know
been
what
smoked.
An ashtray is. Like, you don't need to prove what it is. Weird. Yeah. Very weird. But
anyway, sorry, total tangent.
It's okay. Marissa turns up and she wants to hang out because her mum told her not to, basically.
Yeah, how much is she, like, totally channeling, like, the rock chick look? Yeah. Like, she's got the dark eyeliner and the... Yeah, I definitely had a couple of tops like that.
Touch of the Taylor Monson, was that her name?
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes.
She was in the Pretty Reckless.
Pretty Reckless, yeah. Mm-hmm. Very much the Jenny Humphrey gone bad.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's a cute look. I channeled this look in
Oh, yeah,
youth.
Definitely.
It was a good look. But she's skipping school to do the dirty with Volchek.
Yeah.
Shall we go to... I've told you about the Albuquerque song.
Yes, you have.
Never. I won't
repeat it. It was actually... My friend Jill said she knows... The song you mean. And it's
Hot dogs, jumping frogs, over to Albuquerque, where Ryan is at the diner looking for his mum.
But he doesn't find her. He meets her co-worker, a young girl called Chloe.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, you're cute. Your mum's shift doesn't start for another few hours. And Ryan's like, all right, cool, I'll come back then. She's like, oh, I'll still be here. You know, flirtatious.
I thought when I was watching this that Chloe played Darla.
Darla from Buffy. Yeah. I thought she played Dexter's wife, who's also...
Yeah, same person.
Yes.
It's not her.
But it's not her, but... She is in an episode of Dexter. Because
no
I just
way.
Googled... Yeah. And weirdly, she's a twin. So it's a set of twins that are in like one episode of Dexter, because I thought she was Darla so much, but then I was like, she must be a bit young.
Yeah.
To have played Darla, because Buffy and Angel would have been like a good bit below this. But that's so weird. I thought the exact same thing.
She looks so like her.
Who is the character that plays Darla? Is she Julie someone?
Oh, I can't remember.
Can't remember. But yeah, they do look... I had the exact same
very,
thought process.
Very similar. Love Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, so much.
So good. Right, back at school and they're talking about maths, which was completely over my head. I tried very briefly at the start to be like, oh, I wonder if I remember this. And I don't.
Nah, I don't think we get taught this in Scotland.
I mean, I did higher maths and I don't think I could tell you anything that I learned from that. Other than maths is very hard.
Yeah, math is difficult and I'm not good at it.
Nope.
But yeah, this was annoying as well. So Summer's trying to get Seth's attention and he's just patching her. So she makes out, she starts like doing this ridiculous laugh and like, oh my God, Seth. And then she says he's like making fun of the teacher, but he's not. So they get chucked out of class. Again, as a teacher, you would just be like, right, shut up and get on with it. Not like, you both go to the principal's office now.
It's a bit
you know,
extreme,
you deal
isn't
with it,
it
after class. Yeah. But I suppose, I don't know what these private school rules are like.
They don't put up with that shit. They just send them to the principal.
Don't put up with that shit. But yeah, they go to the principal's office and Seth's raging. He's like, I've never been kicked out of class before. And she was like, look, it's the only way I could get you to talk to me. And yeah, I thought this scene was a bit mental, but she's just like, breakup's off because... I broke up with you, so I've got the power to unbreak up with you, and we are back together until you tell me like what the hell is going on.
I see what she's trying here, but it's a weird approach.
Yeah, it's a bit mental.
It's a bit like needy as well.
It's also a bit controlling if it's the other way about.
Yeah, it is super controlling. I don't like it. Made me feel uncomfortable. But yeah, she's like, it's good to have you back, babe. And then like gives him a kiss, which I'm also just like, oh, like, oh, no. Weird. Very weird.
But yeah, Ryan, we then cut to him and he's back at the diner and he sees his mum with presumably her new boyfriend.
Doesn't Dawn look bloody brilliant? She looks great. She looks so healthy, so happy.
She does, but Ryan just sees her and walks away after seeing that she's got a new man. He seems to be thinking it's just going to be the same cycle again.
Yeah.
And Chloe sees this and says, oh, do you want to go somewhere to talk? And then they head off together.
She actually says, do you want to go somewhere and talk or something? Which we all know means sex. Huh. That's what that means.
But oh God, this next scene as well. So we're back at Volchuk's, where Marissa and Volchuk are clearly having sex. And Julie turns up and he's like, oh, it's my dealer, but it's not, it's Julie. And he actually says to Julie, like, oh, I thought you were my dealer. I was like, wait, score brownie points, pal.
She turns around.
That's just so
like,
good, isn't it?
Listen up, Tommy Lee. What a smashing reference.
Such a good reference.
It's just like cut somebody down as well, just to be like, we know the stereotype you are playing, Volchek. It's very funny. And she like just rips him apart.
She rips him to shreds. Like, it's brilliant.
Soon Marissa's going to wake up and realise she's so much better than you and your life.
Yeah.
What do you even say to that?
Yeah, and I think she says something like, you've got 3 brain cells and a good coke connection.
I know. She smashes it. Yes, Julie, what a bloody woman. What a woman.
And Marissa hears all this and you can see that she's just sort of like silently agreeing. she may have a point there.
Yeah, and then Julie leaves, clearly knowing Marissa is there, but she leaves anyway. And then Marissa's like, oh, I'm sorry about that, to Volchek. And then Volchek's like, it's fine, I'm going to get beer. But he actually looks quite genuinely offended.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we do get some a wee bit of, not character development, but just some further insight, you know, that he's maybe not as tough exterior, maybe isn't as tough as, he does obviously like Marissa, I think that's the long and short of it.
And he doesn't know how to deal with these feelings.
He really doesn't know how to deal with his feelings. He does not.
Right. Let's talk about this. So we are meant to believe that an 18-year-old boy has gone to another state, flown to another city, trying to find his mum. And instead of finding his mum, he's gone for a beer with a random waitress who is clearly older than him. Like, why is this 21-year-old woman shagging an 18-year-old? First question.
Ryan gets all... This happens all the time, though. Remember Caleb's bird?
Oh, was, yeah. Totally into Ryan. What was her name? Gigi? No, Gabrielle? Gabby. That was her name.
Yeah, Gabby. And he must have been, like, 16 then.
Not okay, man. Not okay. Mm. Oh, my phone just dinged. I have completed all of my rings today.
Oh, nice.
I got an Apple Watch for my birthday. Oh, yeah,
so you can work it now. Damn, I took mine off to go in the shower and now I'm not really doing many steps right now, but...
Every step counts, Jane. I'm now one of those arseholes that is completely obsessed with my watch now. Like, I went out for a walk yesterday just because I was like, I need to get my steps in.
Yeah, I go through stages of being absolutely obsessed and, like, going nuts and then have a heavy weekend and I'm like, oh, we'll just start again on, like, Monday or whatever. Yeah, my report wasn't good this week. Everything was down, but it was a birthday week.
It's allowed. Anyway, back to this bloody scene in the bar. Like, it's just absolutely ridiculous. Like, whoever wrote this was off their absolute face when they wrote this, or, like, was so pathetic as a teenager that they're writing this ridiculous fantasy that would never be realistic in any way, shape, form, or manner.
Although it is quite... funny from what I've been sort of dabbling in and out of listening to the OC podcast, the Welcome to the OC Bitch.
Oh yeah,
and they
with
keep
Julie
banging on
Summer.
About how Josh was 26 when he wrote the pilot, and I'm like, that's insanely young, you know. Like, he's pretty much 8 years younger than I am now.
That is wild. But still, 26 is old.
Anyway.
It's silly. So they're in this bar and then he's chatting to her about Dawn's boyfriend. And she's very much like, he's got a good heart. Like, the boyfriend has a good heart.
Yeah.
Trying to appease Big Ron. His concerns. Ron, that was his name. And then she decides to dance with
him. Heather, sugar. Oh no, I'm okay. Sorry, I thought we'd stopped recording again. I was like, no.
What you just heard there was Heather's heart jump into her throat. Jesus Christ. I wasn't going to drink today, but I might.
I'm sorry. Do you know what it is? The recorder has turned around to the side slightly and I just couldn't see my levels. And then I was like, oh my God, stop moving. The seconds aren't going. Yeah, I'm on 28 minutes and 47. Are you?
28 minutes and 49. So that's probably about right.
Cool. Okay, right. We're fine.
Oh gosh.
My heart stopped here as well.
Oh, I feel a bit sick. Jeez. Yeah. Anyway, dancing in a pub with a stranger. Weird. A weird flex. Very weird flex.
American, isn't it?
Yeah. I've literally written down this storyline is insane. And then they're shagging. Sure.
Yeah. Problematic. What's also problematic is Griffin and Sandy. Again, not written a lot down for this. Sandy relays to Griffin what Matt said to him. And Griffin again is like, I'll handle him. But then Sandy's like, no, Matt's my problem.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, right, cool, good luck.
Yeah. Which I just felt really sad for Sandy there, because at the start of the scene, like, the urban planning committee has signed off on all their plans for this hospital, which is all Sandy wants, is like this hospital that you don't need medical insurance to go to.
Yep.
Like, it's going to support the community around it. And you can just tell he's just so gutted, because he had this like pipe dream that he's very suddenly realizing that's just not how it works.
Not happening.
Yeah, just a bit of a bummer really, isn't it? I guess we'll go back to this stupid storyline.
So Chloe's getting ready to leave and Ryan sort of tells her that I'm going to invite my mum to graduation, and Chloe's like, oh, that'll be so nice.
When Chloe is kind of chatting about graduation, she makes like a really like catty comment about, oh, I can't imagine your mum hanging about in Newport.
The new deceased. It's really...
like, just a really, like, class divide, like, basically saying Ryan's mum isn't good enough to hang about with the Newport crowd.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's what she's intending it to be, but that definitely sets Ryan off on this kind of trajectory. And when he phones Seth, he's very much like, I'm not going to invite her anymore because of it. Which I just, like, a random stranger who, okay, you've just pumped, but, like, would you really take their opinion that seriously?
Yeah, especially considering she's meant to be your mum's pal. You know, it's just a bit...
it just doesn't really add up.
A bit shit.
But yeah, Seth turns around to Ryan and is like, be a man and go and see your mum. And Ryan very correctly is like, are you still lying to everyone about everything?
Yeah, so he goes back to the diner. I really like this scene. So Ryan goes back to the diner and he goes in and she is like so happy to see him, and he's just really genuinely smiley and happy as well. It's really cute.
I think the woman that plays Dawn is a really good actor. Like, I think she's really believable. Like, her joy emulates is that right
so
word?
Much.
Vibrates. Yeah. She's very good. But they just have this lovely big hug, and it's great.
Love it.
Do you know what's not great? This next scene.
So Seth goes to see Summer at the Roberts residence, and she's like, oh, well, we're back together, so let's go on a date. And then he's like, well, I'm now going to break up with you because I've got the power. I think this is for the best. And then Summer's just like, well, the only reason I unbroke up with you was to find out why we broke up in the first place. And Seth's just like, well, you'll never know. And then she's just left sort of shocked as he patches her. It's just so stupid.
It's just so cruel. Like, why would you do that to somebody?
Seth has just got such a knack for like making life so much more difficult for himself and for everyone else than it should be.
Like, see if he just turned around and like said to her, look, I've just realized, you know, we're too young, or like, we're too young to get together. I don't, like, whatever line he needed to do.
I didn't get into Brown.
Well, he could just tell the truth. But if we're going to go down the lie route, but he needs to give her a reason why they're breaking up. Like, that is so mean to just break up with somebody and give them no reason.
Other than you want to be, like, a martyr.
So weird. It's just so weird.
he's the worst.
See this Chloe character, the Drusilla mm-hmm. lookalike.
Yeah.
She's a dick.
Oh yeah, she's horrible.
Like
she's really horrible.
So she
she's
is
a little stutter, isn't she?
Such a stutter. She's got what's Marissa's sister called? Caitlin.
Oh, she's Caitlin vibes.
She's heavy Caitlin vibes. So Chloe, having left Ryan's bedroom, has somehow managed to tell Dawn that Ryan's inviting her to graduation.
Yeah. Ugh. And she's like, oh, of course I'll be there. And Ryan's just like, oh, for fuck's sake. Right, we'll talk about this later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and now we get like a little, quite early on montage, don't we? Like, this is usually something that we'd finish with. Seth goes in and like collapses on his bed, and then Ryan leaves the diner, and it's like they both kind of, Ryan leaves the diner and shuts the door, and Seth maybe I've missed that out maybe I missed it out
because I was too annoyed at Seth being stupid.
But they just, there's sort of like, we've got some music and Seth just collapses on his bed and Ryan leaves the diner and Dawn's like weaving away. We're back to Marissa waking up at Volchik's house.
Yeah, because he's having a party in the middle of the night, which I'm so here for.
Like, he's having a rager.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the way, see these like 10 o'clock pub shutting times? It's actually not that bad. Like, when
I and then love the 10 o'clock pub close, because I'm very much like, I will stay until the party ends. I need somebody to tell me to go home,
because I need to be told to go
that's
home.
That's who I am. But I love the fact that, like, we went out last Friday, 10:30. I was home in my jammies, my makeup was off, and I was in bed at 10:30 on a Friday.
I think, yeah, it could be the way forward, because I'm just like, when we're drunk.
Yeah.
Oh, went for the road. That's open till about, yeah, oh, God. But, yeah, so they're having a rager during the day, and we see me and Heather for the first time in a while.
Yes. What's her opening line to Marissa? It doesn't make any sense. The princess falls off her throne and lands in Volchek's mattress. I don't understand. Is that a compliment? Is that an insult? Is she taking the piss? I don't understand what it is. Because surely it's a compliment if she like thinks, oh, I don't know, is she being sarcastic and it's not really landing?
Yeah, I don't. Our lines were always really shit though, remember? She just kept banging on about how, oh, watch you don't shoot me. Shut up.
Shut up, mean Heather.
But we're back to the diner, and you've got Chloe and Dawn are like talking about getting Dawn a new dress for the graduation, and Ryan's just sort of playing it down. And then Dawn gets a phone call from Ron.
Yep.
And she's like, right, we're both coming to the graduation. Again, presumptuous. That should have been the Nana's ticket.
Yeah, it should have been the Nana's. Do you know who's going to be raging at that?
Oh, Kerry.
Kerry Abercrombie, our podcast host for seasons 1 and 2, loves, I was going to say loved, Nana. Loves the Nana.
Loves
and
the Nana.
She will be furious to find out that Ron has taken her ticket.
Ron? She'll be like, who the fuck is Ron?
Who is he?
Who is he?
Who is he? R.I.P. Nikki Graham, we've lost the legend.
Yeah.
Oh, sad. If you didn't get that, presumably that you're not in the UK. There was a TV show called Big Brother, and there was this amazing, amazing woman on it called Nikki Graham, who was just hilarious. But she really sadly died a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
But that was one of her famous lines. Who is she?
Who is she?
Yeah, very funny. Very funny. Anyway, she is on Cloud 9, clearly. And this is where Chloe's like, oh, sorry, I ruined your surprise. You're like, Chloe, you've ruined everything. Like, what is your point in this show? Why are you in this episode? Other than to stir shit up.
Yeah, she sucks. But we've now got Summer and Taylor, who are like besties. I think Summer's just on a wee bit of a spiral here, isn't she? So Taylor's like, oh, do you still love Seth? And she says that she does. And then Taylor's like, well, did Seth say that he didn't love you? And then, well, she's a bit like, no. So Taylor's like, well, he's just scared then. And then they just, oh, this crap about love trumps fear, love trumps everything, blah, blah, blah. So, of course, let's create a plan. And obviously, Taylor's got an idea to get them back together.
Of course she does. Right, let's head over to Seth's room. The phone goes and Taylor is on the phone. How he trusts anything Taylor says, because she has done this before to him, but she says she's supervising detention and he is to meet her in the student lounge. And that's it.
Yeah, and then we cut to Santi getting a phone call from Kirsten. She wants to chat tonight. She's feeling really disconnected. And Santi arranges to come home earlier. I think we can sort of see Kirsten struggling, can't we?
Yeah. I get that Santi has a lot going on with work and he's super stressed. But surely your wife, who is only, what did we say the last time when she had her meeting? Like 9 months?
9 months sober, yep.
Is only, only 9 months sober. And he is like just neglecting her, really. Just a bit shit. I'm very disappointed in Santi, actually. I thought he would have been better.
Yeah, it's not Santi. It's not very Santi-esque. It's not the Santi we know and love.
No, definitely not.
But yep, Santi hangs up from their call and here comes Matt again. And Matt says that he's talked to Griffin and they're meeting up tonight to exchange the documents or money or whatever it is. And Sandy's like, well, this is all news to me. And he's like, basically thinks Griffin's going to give him a doing again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's like, look, don't trust him. But Matt's like, well, I hold all the cards now, but Sandy's not so sure.
For sure. Over at the Volchek party, Heather is smashed.
Heather is mad to it. She is.
Not the first time I've said that sentence in my life. and she... Heather smashed and taking her top off, which is a really weird thing to write when it's your own name. My top is fairly on.
Heather is not taking her top off right now, guys. Can actually confirm.
We don't have the heating on. It's quite chilly in here. I will not be taking my top off. but yeah, mean Heather is drunk and starting to take her top off. And Volchek's like, oh, she's having fun. And then Marissa sees this guy spike her drink. Yeah, and
they're just plying her with all sorts, aren't they?
Yeah, I find this quite stressful to watch, actually. It wasn't enjoyable.
No.
I've written here as well, like, do something. But I'm like, would I have done something at that age? I'd like to hope so.
Yeah.
In that environment, maybe not.
Yeah. She gets there in the end, doesn't she?
Yeah.
So we then cut from that scene to Harbour, and Steph turns up to school, and it's all filled up with balloons and decorations, and it looks like the Valentine's Day thing all over again, doesn't it?
Where are the teachers? Where is the janitor? Where is security? Yeah. Why are these children allowed to spend presumably hundreds of dollars on balloons and giant Hershey's kisses to decorate their school on a weekend?
Because even, do you not even notice later on when Taylor's like, oh, I need $50 from everyone for the after party? And I'm like, that's a considerable amount of money. I bet you they've also already paid like a bomb to go to their prom, you know, but $50 back then as well, that's quite a lot.
I was going to say, you've clearly watched on because I don't know what you're talking about. I don't.
Yeah, so...
Oh, is that in the next episode she asked for that?
Oh no, yeah. Sorry, I'm totally...
It's okay.
I've gone ahead, but it's not a spoiler, but she just asked for some money. Yeah, she just asked for some money and I'm like, I guess they are rich and it's Newport, but yeah, maybe these grand displays are just pretty normal for them.
Yeah. So he goes into the, what is it, the whatever, the coffee lounge, whatever it is, and then Summer gets up in the car and tries to like do to him what he had done to her.
She tries to replicate it, doesn't she?
And it's just like, it's quite sad. It's just quite miserable.
It's awful, isn't it?
She asks the question, like, never ask questions if you don't want the answer is like the basic learning from this scene. But she's like, tell me you don't love me anymore. And he does. He says it. He's like, I don't love you anymore. As simple as that. And
she is heartbroken. Yeah. It was really difficult to watch. But yeah, she just, and I thought she did this really well, actually, because she's heartbroken, but she's also a bit mortified, isn't she? And she's just like, look, just leave.
Don't look at me.
Yeah. And then they both have to go to detention together, and that's like
so awkward. So awkward.
Ugh. And then we're back in the Roberts, aren't we? Julie's at Marissa's room.
Yes, we are. And she tries calling Marissa. And is this where she finds her Berkeley jumper?
Yeah, she finds her Berkeley jumper like tucked away. And I think that's what prompts her to call Marissa, who is still at the party. so doesn't answer.
Yeah.
As she sees Heather being taken off by a group of horrible guys to a van.
Ugh, yes. It's awful. Yes. I found this so awful to watch. So I was once date raped, but not actually raped. Like, I had the date rape drug put in my drink.
Oh my God.
And passed out in the ABC toilets, actually. And like, nothing bad happened to me. Like, the bouncer or somebody came in. I think that happening
enough is like bad enough.
But it was just awful because, like, you know, if you're on a night out, like, even if you drink loads, you still, like, and somebody will remind you and you'll be like, oh yeah, I'd forgotten about that. Or like, you get the memories back in little flashes. Yeah, it's like literally someone switched a light out. It's just so weird. And then I remember I'd gone into ABC because they were like, oh, we want to try and find the person that did this. And they let me watch footage of myself going Jesus, from...
That's my worst nightmare.
Yeah, going from the main dance floor, like walking to the toilets. And I was just like, I have no recollection of that at all. And it was such a weird experience. So yeah, when I was watching this, I was just like, fuck, like, I'm so lucky that
were they able to see, like, anyone put anything
nothing came of it in the end. But yeah, like, it just made me very, very grateful that that situation turned out the way it did and couldn't have gone another way.
That's terrifying.
It's pretty grim. Oh, do you know there's really fun things you can get now? I mean, they're not fun, but like, you can like pour them in your drink and it shows you, or you put it in your drink and it shows you if it's been spiked or not, which is quite clever actually. Wow, I would have loved that.
That's definitely
anyway don't drug people's drinks. That's not nice.
Oh god this must have been so triggering with you. She's called Heather.
She is called hell. Heather.
Jesus.
And that's why we put a trigger warning at the start, guys. No, it's fine. Anyway, they take mean Heather to the back of this van, and Marissa kind of turns up and she's like, oh, I've left my jacket in the van. And then she kind of like has a little tussle with them and ends up opening the door. And then there's this guy, if not penetrating her, then attempting to penetrate her. And Marissa's just like, get off. And they're like, it's cool.
Do you hear what he says though?
Yeah.
When she opens the door.
It's
and
awful.
She says... And so he obviously thinks it's one of the guys and he says, wait your turn.
Yeah.
And it's just, oh, geez.
And then the guy outside says, it's cool, we're just having a little fun. And it just honestly makes me feel so physically sick.
My chest is really tight, like, just thinking about it.
I just find it so weird. Like, I've always had male friends in my life and I just, unless they all completely lie to my face, I can't ever imagine... Yeah. Any of them being in a situation ever. No. Like, and I think like Daniel Sloss does a really good piece. It's not a comedy piece, but it's a piece about holding men accountable and holding your friends accountable. And he was like, though, there was a guy in our friendship group who we all joked was a bit rapey and was a bit creepy. And then he did end up raping someone and going to prison. And they were like, we should have done something earlier. And we all knew. And I just can't imagine being friends with a group of boys who would do this. It's just really disgusting, really.
Turns your stomach, doesn't it?
Ugh. I think this bothers me more than the Oliver storyline.
Yeah, no, definitely.
This one scene.
Yeah, they're just a really bad bunch.
Nobody's dancing to Tom Jones here, Jane.
No, they really aren't.
Let's move on.
So we've got Chloe and Dawn coming to show Ryan the new dress that Dawn's bought for graduation. She's like, I know it's not really something Kirsten would wear. It's a little low cut and it's all like glitzy, but she's really pleased with it. And then Ryan's just a bit like, oh, well, Seth and I are just going to blow off graduation. But come and visit later in summer, but just don't come to graduation. And... yeah, she knows he's talking shit, doesn't she?
Yeah, but she is just such a good actress. Like, you can just see that she is gutted. Like, it's like someone's punched her in the stomach. Like, she looks, like, aghast. Like, she just looks devastated. And she's like, you don't have to lie to me. I might not have been the best mother in the world, but I've never been ashamed of my family. And you're just like, oofed.
Yeah, and she just, like, walks out as she should.
Mm-hmm.
And then we sort of... back to Chloe talking to Ryan. And Ryan's just like, look, this is just sort of going to be history repeating itself. She gets clean, she does well for a wee while, but then she meets this guy and the guy always drags her down.
But it turns out this guy is actually really great for Dawn, isn't he?
Like, Ron's a good guy.
Yeah, they met in AA, like he bought her a car, like he's looking after her.
Yeah, he's 12 years sober. And Ryan's just a bit like, oh, well, I don't know any of that.
Of course you don't. You didn't bloody ask.
Yeah, so she's like, well, you've already made up your mind and you should have given her the benefit of the doubt. But Ryan's got to go to the airport. And Chloe's like, well, I'll drive you, but we need to make a wee stop off first.
Yeah.
Then we've got Kirsten calling Sandy, but he's not answering. And he is late after saying that he's going to come home first.
Yeah.
Come home early, sorry.
There is nothing annoys me more in this life. I'm saying this because Ali is sitting in the same room as me and I'm hoping he can hear me. There is nothing annoys me more than this life than somebody saying, oh yeah, I'll be in the house for dinner at 7 and them turning up late. Especially if they know you're cooking. Like, it's so rude.
Okay, I can understand why that might be difficult.
Are you a later? Is that what you're going to tell me?
No. It's bizarrely, that doesn't happen a lot with Stephen and I because we love sleep. When he's at home, he doesn't work, and I live so close to work that that's never really an issue. Like, I only am a 5-minute walk from work, so I can't really.
You can't be late. It's very annoying.
Yeah, I've not. It's difficult for me to be. Although I still do manage to be late.
So I really see later on when we see Kirsten, I felt her. I was very annoyed for her.
Yeah, but yeah, Sandy is basically spying on Matt and Griffin. So they meet. And Griffin seems to have the money and Matt's like, the files are in the black seat and Griffin's got like this big thuggish looking guy with him.
So do I get this right? So while Griffin and Matt are talking, Sandy sneaks into Matt's car and takes the document, hides them in his car and then interrupts them talking because it basically, at the point when Griffin's like, this isn't going to work out the way you think it is, Matt, and basically being like, I'm going to beat you up. Like, you're going to be taken care of and be swimming with the fishes. This is where Sandy steps out and he's like, Matt is bluffing. He doesn't have anything on you. Check the car if you like. There's no documents. It's all bullshit. Basically saving Matt's bacon, right?
Yeah, this is why it's left quite open-ended, but that's definitely what I had taken from it.
I had to watch it twice. I was a bit like, what? Yeah. What's going on? Especially like,
does anyone care at this point?
The big guy, the dodgy guy, I was like, are we meant to know him? Is he a recurring character? Who is he? It was very confusing.
Yeah. But yeah, we then go back to the, our second trigger warning sort of kicking in, but we go back to the Cohen house and Kirsten is cracking open a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
But she then sort of thinks better of it and she pours out the wine before she gets there. Just as
question.
Seth walks in. Yeah.
If you are a recovering alcoholic, why would you have wine in your house?
Yeah. We've said this before though, haven't we? Remember, she was literally just at a rehab and they were like, oh, well, we'll just put her in a situation where there's alcohol because it'll make us more money for the benefit.
Oh, yeah. Wild, especially in your own home.
But then she did get really into cooking and
sometimes you need wine for cooking. Then you get the wee individual bottles. You don't need to waste a good Chardonnay that she was cracking open. This scene was quite just, you can see how much she was struggling. Like, she was clearly like not only angry but just like sad.
Yeah, Kirsten's not in a good place, but Kirsten can see that Seth isn't in a good place. And she's like, look, do you want to talk? But he's like, I just want to know where Ryan is. Turns out he's not home yet. And Seth does sort of ask Kirsten, do you want a chat? But she's like, nope, everything's fine.
Yeah.
So I think she's just a bit rattled from what she nearly did.
Yeah. I guess as well, she probably wouldn't want to tell Seth that.
Especially you wouldn't want to turn. Was it last week the way he ate together? You know, so.
You wouldn't want to burden him with that that thought. Over to Chloe and Ryan hanging out at Dawn's locker, breaking and entering. Right?
Yeah.
Definite invasion of privacy.
How much of a meddler is Chloe?
Yeah, it's like, a ridiculous, unbelievable character.
But I'm not sure if it is.
I know, it's just so weird. But she cracks open Dawn's locker and it's full of pictures and cards and little updates about Ryan that it turns out Kirsten's been sending her, which is super cute and super nice of Kirsten to do that. But obviously Dawn turns up and is a bit like, "Were you?" If that was me, I would be more annoyed that they'd broken into my locker, to be honest.
Yeah, like, what are you doing?
But this is where Ryan apologises, and she kind of makes a comment about his birthday, being like, "Oh, I wasn't ready to come and visit you when it was your birthday." Mm-hmm. And he seems a bit annoyed about it, doesn't he? He seems a bit like pissed off that she hadn't been.
Yeah. She says she's getting her life back in straight and narrow and she's going to her meetings, being with decent guys, helping. And Ryan's like, "Well, I'm still your kid. You're still my mum." And yeah, right, Dawn's just a bit like, "Never forget that." And he gives her graduation tickets.
Yeah, she does say this line, which is like, "It's so hard to keep it together every day, and I have never felt more seen in my life." It so is, Dawn. Yes. It really is. Being an adult is tough.
Oh yeah, it sucks. But yeah, then we have our little like closing montage. Ryan's sort of like walking at the diner, thanking Chloe for what he calls like the intervention. And she's like, "Yep, I'm not really sorry about the turn of events." And Ryan's like, "Neither am I." And they sort of like wish each other well.
Weird. And then, awkward and weird.
Yeah, it was just weird.
Weird.
Yeah, I think there was another way they could have dealt with this.
Yeah, it's just, it felt like really lazy writing. Just bringing in this really random character with no purpose other than to move the storyline. So yeah.
Maybe they're trying to just like sex it up.
Maybe.
As we've chatted about.
Sex sells, yeah. Jane. Sex sells.
It does. So yeah, we've then got Sandy goes to his office instead of going home. And we've got the, it looks as if he's looking at this evidence.
Yeah.
Probably. And then that's what I took from it.
Yeah, he ends up putting it in the safe as well to keep it safe. Mm. And then we cut to Julie. She's looking sad, drinking her wee whiskey or a bourbon, some kind of beverage. And then
yeah, she's drinking something.
Marissa comes in and she's crying and she's really upset, presumably going to tell her about the mean Heather situation. I wonder what happened. Like, I wonder, because presumably they stopped, but how did she have to get her to her parents' house?
How'd she even get out of that situation? And also I think this is where it's, well, you would think that the severity of the situation and who Marissa has involved herself with is sort of hitting home.
Yeah, for now, sure,
you know.
For sure.
But yeah, hope Heather's okay.
Yep. Taylor and Summer having frappuccinos. I've written eating frappuccinos. Do you eat a frappuccino or do you drink a frappuccino? Somewhere in between, right?
You sort of drink it and you have those little straws that have the little eaty bit on the end where you like maybe like
a wee scoopy bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is where Summer is just like, "He doesn't love me." Oh. Sad.
Yeah. And then we've got Ryan's at home and Seth's waiting for him, and Seth has just realised that he's made like the biggest mistake of his life, and he's now like, again, "Need to hatch a plan. I need to get Summer back and I have to get into Brown." And Ryan's a bit like, "Oh, brilliant, how?" And he said, "That's where you come in." And Ryan's like, "We need a plan." And Seth's like, "It's going to be a long night, Ryan, a lot of whining, a lot of pining, and maybe some brainstorming. You don't mind?" And Ryan's like, "It's good to be home." Just like,
oh. Imagine being Ryan in that situation.
I know.
You would literally just be like, "Fuck off, Seth, man." Like,
yeah.
Ugh. Right. Next time.
I just need to shut up here.
I only have one thing to say about next time. So on all four, when you are watching the OC, it starts to kind of show you what the next episode's going to be. But like, you don't get the recap. You just get the picture and the episode name comes up.
Oh.
Why is Anna in the picture? Why is Anna in the picture? What's happening? Why is Anna here? What is going on? Why is Anna here? It's the only thing I care about.
Do you want to know? No.
No, I should probably just watch the episode. But yeah, that's the only thing I now care about. Why is Anna here?
I think this is how I ended up watching on as well.
Yeah, it's a very tempting. It's a very tempting thumbnail. It's a good promo pick. So yeah, gagging to watch the next episode. Anna. That's it. Yeah. Nothing else. Yeah. Nothing else to discuss.
yeah, to be honest, I totally agree. It's a good gin.
Only side note, I really hope the Matt Griffin storyline is dead, because I am so over it. So
Matt's the new Creepy Charlotte, isn't he? We're like, had enough, whatever.
He just won't go away.
Yeah, it's a really bad character.
Which leads, although I'm quite glad nothing creepy happened with him and Marissa. That's good.
Yeah, I agree.
That is good. Right, it is time for
Listener of the Week. That felt like a remix. Did my usual. I went in with Listener of the Week and then went into the humming rather than the.
Do you want me to put like a wee, like, I could put a wee beat in for you?
Yeah. So our Listener of the Week this week is the lovely Skylar. Hi, Skylar.
Excellent name. Love the name, Skylar.
Fab name. So Skylar got in touch earlier in the week to say, hello, just wanted to say I'm very excited about the live show. I rewatched the OC during the lockdown last year, but only discovered this podcast in January, so was gutted to find I missed the previous live recording. I love all of your insights on the fashion, the timelines, teenagers acting like adults, the Tory bashing, and generally calling out behaviour which is not okay. The podcast made me laugh a lot during lockdown 3.0. I'm in London, so I can only say thank you. Looking forward to binge listening the rest of season 3 to get to the finale in time, currently at season 3 episode 4. Oft, great work, Skylar.
Great work, and don't forget to get your live episode tickets.
Yeah,
Skylar,
get your live episode tickets. No, that is a very lovely message, so thank you, and we hope you continue to enjoy. I would also like to give a quick shout out to a girl, Jenny, that I know, who'd actually messaged my personal account, something unrelated. We were talking about vaccine chat. And I actually met Jenny a number of years ago when Stephen ran the Berlin Marathon with a few friends, and Jenny was a friend of a friend that was also there, and literally, like, haven't seen her since, have her on social media. So we're having some chat about the vaccine, and she said that she is a secret listener of the podcast.
A secret listener. I love a secret listener.
So she was like, I'm too embarrassed to come out, but Jenny actually makes amazing face masks.
Like one she would wear to the shop.
Yeah, one she would wear to the shop. Her Insta handle is bra.masks, I believe, and she has a wee Etsy shop, and they're amazing. So for any face mask needs, hit up
Does
Jenny.
She ship worldwide? Is it a UK only?
Yes, I think she does. She's based in Glasgow, I think, but yeah, quite possibly. Check out her Instagram and Etsy page.
For sure. Bra masks.
Bra masks. It's like bra.masks, I'm sure the handle is.
Into it. I actually lost my mask at the weekend. So not that I've lost my favourite mask. I've got backup masks, but my favourite mask.
Funny the amount of friends I've got. Like, oh, I've lost. I literally have about 40 masks. I kid you not, because I have to wear it all day, every day.
Yeah.
It obviously has to match all my different outfits. So
Sure.
I'm that extra. So
you're not extra. You're just very coordinated. A very well-dressed woman, Jane. That's what you are.
Thanks, Heather. Thank you.
A passion for fashion.
Passion for fashion. Little Bristol.
Well, I actually can't wait for the next episode. I might watch it now.
Watch it now and then...
Watch it right now.
Write up your notes at a later date. Yeah.
I mean, I'd need to write my notes now. I forget. Right. I'm an old lady now. I forget. I have to write it down. I might just dive right in because I need to know why Anna has returned from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Need to know.
Or has she returned?
Oh, she's sitting with Seth. Unless Seth's gone to her.
Or unless they've both met somewhere.
Where could they be?
Where's Seth going?
Brown.
Where are they all going?
Dun, dun, dun. Oh my God, you can't just leave me in a spot. Like, not even a spoiler. You can't leave me like that.
And on that note, we'll let you go and watch the next
bye guys.
The next episode.
Bye.
Okay, bye guys.